Now here's the present that I was given last night, and this was a present that's a very unusual present. It's something that a person made, and it's made with things that were found lying in the church garden, and this is a present for the church. You see who it is? It's a little doll. And this is made with bits of last year's Christmas tree that was our cross at Easter. It's still with us. And a bit of wool that was found, a bit of wool wadding that was found lying about the church. And I think this is an old skipping rope handle. And a bit of cloth that was left lying around. And these are plants that were in the garden. And it's all things that were found, left lying around. And even the star in the head was found in the church garden. So isn't that a lovely thing? Maybe we'll put that up at the Christmas tree later. And the person who gave it to me said, I don't know what to call it. And I said, well, we have been reading in the manse a story about Babushka. I don't know if you know the story of Babushka, but Babushka was a lady. That's Babushka. Babushka was a lady who welcomed three travelling strangers as they were on a journey, a long journey to Bethlehem to find the baby Jesus. And she made them very welcome. And the next morning they said, come with us, come and see the baby Jesus. And she said, oh, I can't, I've got so much to do. And she had to do her ironing and her cleaning and her dusting and tidying up the house and putting everything away and washing the dishes and preparing meal. By the time she'd done all that, she thought, actually, I would like to go. I'll go and catch up with the wise men. But it had snowed. And where they had walked through snow, their footprints were covered by the snow. And she couldn't find the wise men. And she struggled on, laden with parcels for the baby Jesus, and travelled for miles and miles and miles and couldn't ever find the wise men. But everywhere she went, the story tells us she found a young child, and she gave the child a present. And so the myth, the story of Babushka grew, who was left behind, but was able to bring joy to so many children. And I thought we'd call this wee dolly Babushka, because she's made up of things that have been left behind. And it's a Christmas story. We've also got here, again, this was found, I think this must have been in the mulch that's in the church grounds. And if you can look inside, it's a Christmas tree. I don't think we'll have it for next year, maybe a few years, but a little Christmas tree that was found in the church garden as well. So there we are, found beside the stump of the old oak tree that was at the front there. So there we have Babushka, made up of things that were left behind into something nice, and a Christmas tree that has started to sprout from a little seedling in the garden. Well, it's great to get presents, and I hope if, like us, you still have one or two to open, more than one or two perhaps, that you have great fun opening and playing and enjoying all these gifts. And they, of course, remind us of God's great gift to us in Jesus. When we think of Christmas, I guess that the overriding thing that we think of above hope, above peace, above joy is love. We think of love that came down at Christmas, as Christina Rossetti wrote in her famous poem. And the only way for us to understand the Christmas story is to know about the love of God. And the only way we understand the love of God is to know that God loved us first. And Matthew, in his gospel, tells us that, love goes the distance. Some magi from the east came to Jerusalem. They'd travelled a long way, and love at Christmas goes the distance. That the Magi made it into the Christmas story at all was an amazing expression of God's first love, because the Magi were neither Jews nor Christians, of course. They were pagans, people who did not believe in the Bible or the God of the Bible, and their name is connected to the word magic, Magi. And there's a sense in which that is who they were. They were magicians. They believed that you could discern the will of the gods and your personal destiny by studying the stars, the zodiac in the sky. They were astrologers. And horoscopes were among their specialities. And one historic night they were plotting the stars when they looked up and they saw in the sky something new. And checking their calculations, they realized that the star they saw was unprecedented. And so a group of the Magi decided to leave their homes and leave their jobs and risk their lives in a long caravan journey to follow the star. Now, why would they follow a maverick star? I think it was because of the love of God. The star leading them westward was spun across the night sky by the love of God. And the love of God pulled them like a magnet towards Jesus. And it's much the same today, isn't it? The love of God touches us right where we are. Sometimes in the star, sometimes on the sand, sometimes in success, sometimes in tragedy. God's love touches us. It's the love of Christmas that goes the distance to Jesus. Then the second thing, I guess, from the story of the Magi, we find in verse 2. They come with a question. Where is the one who has been born the King of the Jews? And love comes to us with many unanswered questions. We have come. We've seen the star in the east. We've come to worship him. They had travelled 1,000 miles or so. And they didn't know where they were going or exactly what they were looking for. There were unanswered questions. And you know, love is willing to move ahead of us with unanswered questions. And somehow, during that long journey to Bethlehem, these magi, these magicians, these wise men, they fell in love with a child they had not met and whose name they did not know. The love that drew them was enough to satisfy and motivate them without all the answers to the obvious questions. And it's true that love trusts the person more than the reasons. Love is as much about our heart as about our mind. And then the third thing, as we read on in that chapter from Matthew chapter 2, we come to verse 9 of Matthew 2, and we read this. The Magi went on their way, and the star they'd seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. And when they saw the star, they were overjoyed. And on coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and they worshipped him. And then they opened their gifts, they opened their presents, their treasures, and presented him with gifts of gold and incense and myrrh. You know, it seems to me when I read this that Joseph and Mary were long gone from the stable where Jesus was born, when this scene took place. Jesus was no longer a baby, he was almost 2 years old. And the gifts these wise men weren't much for someone who owned the whole universe, but they were certainly impressive by human standards. Gold was and still is a most precious metal, difficult to mine, I think, in the first century, and therefore rare and extremely valuable. And incense was also expensive. It was a staple of the ancient caravans travelling back and forward with their spices across the empires. And the Old Testament often speaks of priests offering incense to God. And it was a holy gift, a fitting gift for one who was to become the great high priest of history, the one mediator between God and man. And myrrh, the third expensive gift. Well, it was used for external embalming. And could it be that these magicians, these wise men, somehow supernaturally foresaw that this child was born to die? For his destiny, we know, was first the cross of a saviour and later the crown of a conqueror. And so myrrh, a fitting gift for one who was to be the saviour of the world. But let's get back to these magicians, these magi, because they barely knew this child, but they loved him and they gave him gifts. And that's what love does. Love gives. And those who love Jesus, we still bring him our best. And perhaps it's ironic beyond explanation that we celebrate Jesus' birthday by giving gifts to everyone except Jesus. God's love goes the distance from heaven to earth, from deity to humanity. Now here's a thought for Christmas for you. Will you go the distance to Jesus today? Because God's love leaves unanswered questions. Will you love him enough to leave some of your questions unanswered till later? God's love gave his one and only Son Will you give him your best because you love him in return? Just think of it. As John says in his letter, God loves you. This is love, not that we have loved God, but that God loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. We love because God first loved us.